feel from the Lord to talk to you about Jesus gave thanks, broke, and gave. Jesus gave thanks, broke, and gave. I want you to go with me to the book of Mark, chapter 8. Before we pray and read our text, let me just tell you how I got this message from the Lord. I was just sitting in a place real quietly with the Lord. It wasn't a time of prayer. It wasn't a time of, you know, really digging in the Word and seeking Him in the Word. I just had some spare time. So I just sat down with my Bible and was going to read something light. Didn't want to get into anything really deep. Just wanted to sit and read the Word and something light. And as I was reading it, the presence of the Lord really came. And God really began to speak to my heart on a very personal basis. And in this, He's given me a great promise, and a great promise that I feel for my heart. If you truly love the Lord and hungry for God and want to be used by the Lord, a great promise for all of us this morning. So let's just read Mark chapter 8, starting with verse 1. It says, "In those days the multitude, being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with Me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And His disciples answered and said, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And He asked them, How many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and He took the 7 loaves, and He gave thanks, and brake, and gave to His disciples to set before them. And they did set before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and He sent them away." Here the Lord is confronted by a great need. He has a multitude of people that have been following Him, and now they have nothing to eat. And the Bible says that Jesus looked upon the multitude and He had compassion upon them. And the reason why He had compassion upon them is because, as one gospel writer put it, they were as sheep without a shepherd. In other words, Jesus looked at them and He saw their total lostness. He saw their despair, their hopelessness, the confusion that was in their hearts, because they really had no one to point them to the Father and really represent the heart of the Father, the heart of God to them. So He looks at their lostness and their desperateness of heart, and His heart is really moved with compassion upon them. And as I really begin to think about this, just sitting quietly before the Lord really came to my heart and really came strong upon my heart. And the Lord began to just share the compassion that He has for our world today. That He began to share with me the burden that He has for our world today. The compassion and the burden of His heart. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a world and we're living in a time where people have horrendous needs. And it really is upon the heart of the Lord to meet these needs. And it really is upon the heart of the Lord to be glorified through His people as He pours His life through His people to meet these needs. I think about it. I think about the starvation that is in our world. I believe I read just this week that there's 18,000, probably more, 18,000 kids, children, die a day in our world through horrible starvation. And I think about the fatherless and the widows, and I think about our own nation, our own country. How many people are out there that are broken, they're hopeless, they're lonely, their heart is open really to the Lord if they could just see a true testimony of Christ and His people. And we're living in a world that's really so full of needs, and the heart of God is really compassionate, and He desires to meet these needs. And in this moment of time, when I was just sitting with the Lord, I really felt and sensed the Lord's compassion for our needy world. And most of all, I sensed the Lord's heart. Most of all, I sensed the Lord's heart for the so many people that's never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful man of God that comes here and teaches at our Bible school, and we call him Pastor Nat, and he really has a heart for the lost. He's a missionary at heart. And I remember him coming last year and telling us that one-third of our world that we live in has never even heard the name Jesus. One-third of the earth's population has never even heard the gospel the first time. And I think about all these needs and really the compassion that is upon the heart of the Lord when we have all these needs. And most of all, I sense the Lord speaking to my heart. I believe the Lord opened this up to my heart and really began to share His compassion and really began to share His burden with me, because I really sense the Lord say, Tim, I want to use your life in a greater way. Tim, I want to use your life to make a greater difference. Yes, I'm using your life. But Tim, there's so much more that I want to do in your heart. There's so much more that I want to do through your life. I really want to say right here, the Lord desires to meet needs. And as the Lord's people, I know that we're not to be led by need, but we're to be led by the Spirit of God. I know that. Listen, there are so many needs out in our world today that one person could not possibly meet all the needs. So we really need to have a sensitivity to the Spirit of God and just find out what it is that He's calling us to do. What is His calling upon our life? But yet, what I want us to understand is that Jesus was often moved by compassion. That the Holy Spirit often led Him by compassion. When you look in the Scriptures, you see men and women that were led by compassion. Ezra wept over the corruption in God's priesthood. Nehemiah wept over the broken down walls. Jeremiah wept over His people. So the Lord does desire to have a people of compassion. A people that sees the needs and their hearts are stirred with compassion. God can stir their hearts with compassion. And God can pour His heart through them and pour His life through them as they're pouring their heart out to others. And as the Lord really began to minister this to my heart, there was just a prayer that came to my heart. And that prayer was simply this. God, I really sense Your burden. I really sense Your compassion. And Lord, I do want to be a vessel. I do want to be a vessel that You can pour Your life through. I do want to be a vessel, Lord, that can make a difference in people's lives, make a difference in people's needs. And Lord, more than anything, I desire that our church, Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit, would be a church that didn't live for self. A church that wasn't selfish and didn't live for self, but we would truly be a body of people that would have a heart to pour itself out to others, to allow You to meet people's needs through our lives. That was really the cry of my heart. And as I was just praying this, a question came to my heart, and I believe it was truly birthed by the Lord. Lord, I really want to be a vessel. I really want to be a man that You can pour Your life through. And I really sense, Lord, You're saying that You want to work through my life in a greater measure. But Lord, here's the question upon my heart. Well, where do we begin? God, I know You're using my life, but I feel like You're saying it's a new day, it's a new season, there's a new work that I want to do in Your heart so I can work through Your life. And God, I really want to know where do we begin? As a church, where do we begin? And the Lord spoke to my heart and He said, Tim, it's right here in the story. It's right here in the story. So I just want to look at a few simple things the Lord put upon my heart. I want you to look with me at verse 6. Let's start at verse 5. Verse 5 says, And Jesus asked them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And He took the loaves and He gave thanks. Stop there. Said He took the loaves and He gave thanks. And this is what the Lord really spoke to my heart. He said, Tim, being truly used of the Lord starts with being grateful. Being truly used by God starts with having a grateful heart. He said, Tim, you want to know the people that I truly delight to use? It's people that are thankful. You want to know a people that truly gives my heart pleasure to use? It's people that are grateful. And one more time, the Lord opened up a truth that I've spoken many times, but it's so real to my heart. That when Jesus took the need, He didn't despair over the few fish and loaves that He had. But He took the few fish and loaves that He had, and the Bible says He looked up to His Father and He gave thanks. And brothers and sisters, the lesson that we learn from this is simply this. Thanksgiving is the key to God's storehouse. A grateful heart is the key that unlocks God's storehouse. Brothers and sisters, when you are walking before the Lord with a grateful heart in the call of God, you will never lack provision. You'll never lack resources. If you need grace, He will give you grace. If you need strength, if you need joy, if you need peace, He will give you peace. He will give you grace. He'll give you strength. If you need finances, if you need resources, God cannot deny a grateful heart when it's walking in His will. A grateful heart. The Lord was saying to him, you really want to be used by the Lord? Be grateful. Then the Lord really began to challenge my heart. He said, so many of my people complain too much. In love, I'm going to say it again. The Lord said, so many of my people complain too much. My people are so blessed, but they complain so much. I give them blessings and they complain about the blessings. I answer their prayers and they find something to complain about. I'm faithful to provide and they complain about my provision. They complain about their food and they never think about the masses of people that are starving. They complain about their houses and they never think about the poor throughout the earth that are shelterless. My people are so blessed. And Tim, if you really want to be used by the Lord, if you really want your life to make an impact upon others, be thankful. Yes, the circumstances of our lives may not be everything they want them to be. We want them to be. We may have problems. We may experience difficulties. But as the Lord's people, we are passionately loved by God. His presence is in our life. His word is open to us and living and speaks to our hearts. He provides our needs. And He blesses us with good things because He delights in being good to His children. We have so much to be grateful for. Tim, it starts with just being grateful. If you really want to be used powerfully by the Lord, be grateful. Amen. Amen. Getting ready for church this morning, I wonder how many of us, I'm saying it a lot, but I got to speak the Lord's heart. How many of us found something to complain about? How many said, my dresses are my cross on Sunday morning? Lord said, you may not have the one that you want to wear, but look in your closet. There's probably three or four there. Have so much to be thankful for. And that is the heart God delights in using. And I'm preaching to myself. I want to be used by the Lord. I want to be grateful. Look at verse 6. Secondly, look at verse 6. It says, and He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And He took the 7 loaves and He gave thanks and broke and break. So He broke the loaves. And brothers and sisters, this speaks of brokenness. This speaks of really allowing the Lord to work in our hearts. It speaks of allowing the Lord to deal with the things that are in our hearts. To deal with our issues of our hearts. Brothers and sisters, the Lord wants to work in our hearts and He wants to deal with our hearts. Brothers and sisters, He wants to deal with our hearts so that we continually decrease so He can continually increase in our lives. It speaks of it. Brokenness speaks of refining fires. It speaks of loving the Lord and understanding that He needs a vessel that He can pour His life through. And there's a reason why He allows trials and He allows difficult and hard circumstances in our life. It's not because He enjoys His people going through times of suffering and discomfort, but it's because He knows if I'm going to have a vessel, part of the process is brokenness. Part of the process is refining fires. Now, with that thought in mind, I want you to put a marker in Mark chapter 8. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 37. Before I read some scripture, let me just give you a foundation. I want to begin by saying that Joseph, in Joseph's story, I see the local church. What I mean by that, in Joseph's household, his household, I see the local church. I see a people that are part of the same house. They're called by the name of the same God. And because they're family, they're supposed to be walking in unity and fellowship with one another. So looking at Joseph's household, I really see a type of the local church. And in his household, which represents the local church, I really see two types of people that we see in the church today. And they're represented by Joseph and then his brothers. So let's ask a question. Well, who does Joseph represent? Who does he represent? Joseph represents a people that truly love the Lord with all their heart. He represents a people that loves God and truly wants to be used for the glory of God. He represents a people that may not understand all the ways of the Lord, because who fully understands all the ways of the Lord? He represents a people that's not a perfect people, but they really have a heart for God. And deep in their heart, there's this prayer. Deep in their heart, there's this prayer that says, God, I really want you to be glorified through my life. God, I really want you to work in my heart, work deep in my heart, so you can have a vessel that you can pour your life through and be glorified. That's who Joseph represents. Okay? Well, who does Joseph's brothers represent? Well, I want you to look with me at verse 11. Joseph has a dream from the Lord, and he tells his brothers the dream from the Lord. And verse 11 says, and his brethren envied him. So here we see envy and we see jealousy. Look with me at verse 18. And when they saw Joseph afar off, even before he came near unto him, they conspired against him to slay him. So not only do we see envy and jealousy, but we also see malice, we see hate. So Joseph's brothers, listen, represent those who have issues of the heart, deep issues of the heart. But see, the problem with Joseph's brothers is this. It's not, the problem isn't they have deep issues of the heart, because who doesn't have issues of the heart? Who doesn't have things that God needs to work in their heart? No, the problem with his brothers is really they're very indifferent to the Lord, and they're very indifferent to the things of the Lord. They're really indifferent to God, and they're indifferent to the things that are in their heart. Nowhere in this story do you see Joseph's brothers coming under conviction because they have envy and jealousy in their heart, because in reality they really don't care. And nowhere in the story do you see Joseph's brothers bringing their issues to the Lord, bringing their envy and jealousy to the Lord and saying, Lord, I see this in my heart. God, I ask you to cleanse me and work your character in my heart. You don't see that. There's nothing in their heart that desires to be right with God, and there's nothing in their heart that desires to be right with their brother. And this describes so many people that sit in the house of God. And with all that said, we probably all know the horrible things that Joseph's brother did to Joseph, so I'm not going to go all through that. But there is something else that I want us to see about his brothers that will really lead us into where I feel the Lord would take us this morning. I want you to look with me at verse 24 and 25. Genesis 37, verse 24 and 25. And Joseph's brothers took Joseph and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. So Joseph's brothers, out of their hate and envy, they take Joseph and they throw him into a pit. And then the Bible says that they sit down on the bank, they sit down upon the grass, and they begin to eat bread, his brothers. Now, brothers and sisters, bread represents life. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Bread represents the very life of Christ. So with this thought in mind, Joseph's brothers represent a people to me that just live for the morsel of the moment. What I mean by that, people that come to church and we just want our morsel from God. We just want our touch from God. But there's nothing really in the heart that desires to go enter into the fullness of God. There's nothing in the heart that really desires to go deeper and deeper in Christ. There's nothing in the heart that really desires, that has this prayer, God, let me decrease so you can increase in my life. No, we just come to church because we want our blessing. We come to church and we pray these kind of prayers. God, feel me. God, touch me. God, I have a need here. Give me. God, I have a need here. Give me. God, I have a need here. Give me. But there's nothing in the heart that says, God, I want you to be glorified in my life. We come to church just to get our morsel of bread, our touch. But then you have the Joseph company. The Joseph company are those saints that love the Lord. And because they love the Lord, they're going through the refining fires with God. Because they love the Lord, they understand God needs a vessel. And they're in God's meal house, and they're being broken, and they're being crushed. And ultimately, what God is doing is fashioning a vessel for His glory. The Joseph Company is a people that desire to be that broken bread. They desire brokenness in their life. They desire the Lord to come and really work in their hearts. They desire, God, refine me. Take me through the trials. I know Your grace is sufficient, and I know there's a need. You have a need to have a people that You can pour Your life through. Lord, I know You don't take pleasure in watching Your people go through the refining fires, but they're so needful. If You're going to have a people after Your heart, a broken vessel. So when the morsel of the moment people are in church going, God bless me, God heal me, God fill me, God give me. The Joseph Company is in the refiner fires going, oh God, break me and make me and fashion me after a vessel after Your heart. Amen. A great woman of God once said something that really stuck and stayed in my heart. She said, I understand that God's need is greater than my pain. She then went on to talk about how the Lord needs broken vessels that He can pour His life through. And in order for the Lord to make these vessels, there will be seasons of great trial. There will even be seasons of suffering. But we have to understand God takes no pleasure in allowing His people to suffer. But sometimes it's needful for the Lord to make those vessels. And the Joseph Company are a people they don't like and desire to go through the process of brokenness and refining because it really puts a hurting on your flesh. But yet at the same time, in their heart, they truly desire it because they know that's where the life is at. That's where the fruit is at. That's where the deep workings of God is at, that we decrease so the Lord's life increases in our hearts, our life. That's the Joseph Company. Here's what I treasure, and I know we treasure in this story of Joseph. The one phrase you read repeatedly in Joseph's story is this: God was with Joseph. It'd be very easy just to read these words and not really fathom what they mean because these are very four intimate words. It means in everything that Joseph went through, God's presence was there. When Joseph needed comfort, God's presence was there to give him comfort. When Joseph needed strength, God's presence was there to give him strength. When Joseph just needed somebody to pick him up, a shoulder to cry on, God's presence was there as a shoulder to cry on. He had such an intimacy with the presence of the Lord. That's what it means. See, brothers and sisters, what I want us to understand is that when Joseph went into Egypt, he had nobody. Everyone that ever loved Joseph thought Joseph was dead. So in Egypt, as a slave and as a prisoner, Joseph had no one to share his fears with. He had no one to share his frustrations with. He had no one to share his loneliness with. But he had the presence of God. And when he was finally brought out of his affliction and elevated in the Pharaoh's house, Joseph had such an intimacy with the presence of God. He knew the presence of God. And he cherished the presence of God in his life. And I love that about that story. How he had the presence of God. But brothers and sisters, before we leave Joseph, I don't want to leave Joseph in the pit. I really want to show you the goodness of God in Joseph's life. Because walking with God is not seasons of all brokenness. There's great blessings in walking with the Lord. I want you to look with me at Genesis chapter 41. Before we read our scripture, just have a scripture I want to read out of Genesis 41. Let me just say this. In the faithfulness of God, when the vessel was finally ready, when the vessel had been refined, the Lord brought Joseph out of his affliction. And you see that the Lord really blessed Joseph. You see in the story, we'll read it in a minute, the Lord gave Joseph a very beautiful wife. And I'm sure that she was a woman that really respected and honored her husband because of the man that he was. Because of the good work that God had done in his heart. And out of that relationship, as he was a prince in Egypt, the Lord gave Joseph two very beautiful children. And in naming his children, this is what I really want us to see. In naming his children, Joseph reached down into the very deepest part of his heart, the most intimate part of his heart. And he named his children after the testimony that God had worked in his life. And I want you to look at this. Look with me at verse 51 and 52. Verse 51 says, "And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, says he, hath made me forget all my toil." That word toil means grief and pain. "Forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." So in other words, this is what Joseph is saying. This is the testimony of God in my life. God has brought me out of my affliction and has filled me with so much joy. I have forgotten about the pain of my affliction. And all that remains from the affliction is the fruit. All that remains from the affliction is the good work that God has done in my heart. Yes, I understand there was a reason to go through 13 years of very intense refining fires. But God has brought me out of it, and he has put so much joy in my heart that the only thing that remains from the trials and the fires and the affliction is the good work that God has done in my life. And he's saying, I give God all glory. Brothers and sisters, it's not all brokenness. God knows how to bless his people. I heard a dear woman of God say one time, there is a cost to following Christ, but the goodness of God so outweighs the cost. God knows how to be good to his people. He knows how to bless his people. But we can't forget about the refining fires. Go with me to, we're in chapter 41. Look with me at verse 53. Remember, Joseph has a dream, 7 years of plenteous and 7 years of famine. I want you to see what God done in this man's life. Look at verse 53. It says, "And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended." So in other words, the good harvest was ended. "And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph. What he says to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to buy to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the lands." So we see in these scriptures that the Lord sent a famine over all the earth. In other words, he thrust the whole entire earth into a time of darkness and in desperation. And what I want us to see in this time of darkness and desperation, the only person that had any bread to give, the only person that had any life to give was Joseph. Now think about that. In all the earth, the only man that had life and hope and answers to give to a world that was desperate was a man who had been through the refining fires with God. This is very special to my heart because I believe that this is where the Lord says our church is at. Mount Zion Church of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, very dark and difficult times are ahead. Very dark and difficult times are coming. And people that laugh at God and mock God and are very flippant toward God, I'm telling you, their hearts are going to be failing because of fear. That's how bad it's going to be. I believe I'm speaking from the Lord right now. I mean, God is about to shake this world and he's about to shake our nation. And we might can sit in churches in these days and be very flippant about the things of God. But I'm telling you, when God begins to shake this nation, people's hearts are going to be failing with fear. And they're going to be running to and fro looking for answers, looking for life. But the good news is the only place they're going to find life is in the church of Jesus Christ. The only ones that are going to have any answers, the only ones that are going to have any hope, the only ones that are going to have any life to give is that remnant of people that have been through the refining fires with God. Amen. There are dear saints of the Lord in this house today, and you're wondering, why am I going through the things that I'm going through? And God is saying, I have to do a deeper work in your heart because of the times that are coming. But you're going to be such a vessel of life. And that's the joy. That's the joy. When people find life. Oh, by the way, going back to Joseph's brothers, in this time of famine, in Genesis 41, what was their testimony? Well, look at chapter 42, verse 1. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one upon another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." What was their testimony in time of this famine and that morsel of the moment had all dried up and gone away? Their testimony is this. I know I'm called by God's name, but I'm just as lifeless and dead as the lost world that's around me. That's their testimony. And brother and sister, I'm telling you, when in dark times come, there are going to be so many people in the church that way. Because their hearts never really hungered for God. We come to church, listen to sermon, fulfill some kind of Christian obligation that we think we need to fulfill. But there's nothing really in the heart that desires to go deeper with the Lord. And we're so indifferent about the things that are in our heart. We're so indifferent about those people in the church we're harboring grudges and offenses with. And I'm telling you, in times of famine, you will not have anything to give. No testimony of life. But yet you see the goodness of God. The Lord says, well, go to Joseph. And the many people that are sitting in the church, just preaching right out of my heart, have no desire for God. The mercy of God is this. You'll find life. That Joseph company that loves me and been through the refining fires with me, just stay in that church. They'll feed you. They'll show you how to walk in the Spirit. They'll show you my heart, the absolute mercy of the Lord. Amen. So I want to end our sermon with this. Go back with me to Mark chapter 8 and let's finish. And I really want to look at a wonderful promise the Lord has put in my heart. A wonderful promise the Lord has put in my heart. We have verse 6 again. It says, "And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and broke and gave his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people." Look at verse 9. "And they that had eaten were about 4,000. So Jesus took these few loaves and broke them. And then he fed the multitude. And this is what the Lord really spoke very personally into my heart. He said, "Tim, this is your life. This is your life. If you will allow yourself to be broken, if you will truly allow me to work in your heart, if you will embrace the trials that I allow into your life to refine your heart, then your mind and your heart can't even begin to fathom the people I can touch through your life. And your mind can't even begin to fathom how deep I can touch into their heart." See, the promise is this. As I was worshiping the Lord over here, you know, I've been going through just a time of discouragement. And the Lord really lifted my heart as we was worshiping. And he took the scripture and he said, "Tim, you haven't even tapped into the potential of your life. You haven't even tapped into the potential of your life. If you would just continue to love me and let me work in your heart, your mind and your heart can't even begin to fathom how I can use your life." And the Lord told me, someone here today, you may be discouraged. You may feel like these few loaves and fishes. All you may see is your frailties and your insufficiencies and inadequacies and say, "How can God possibly use my life to make a difference?" And the Lord told me to tell you this morning, if you'll just love God and yield your heart to Him and really allow Him to work in your heart, you can't even begin to fathom how He will use your life. The Lord's just saying, take your eyes off of you and your frailties and your discouragement. Put them on me. I am a great God. And believe. I can use you to touch people and meet needs that you never even thought of. And I don't know about you, but it was so real to my heart. God was saying, "Tim, you haven't even begun to see how I can use your life. If you'll, number one, be grateful. And number two, understand, I need to refine vessels, and it's not always easy, but it's needful. And truly let me work in your heart. You will see me do things that in your own strength you could never accomplish. And brothers and sisters, that's such a joy in my heart because I love the Lord. I love Him with all my heart. I don't come to church seeking a morsel of the moment. God, heal me. God, fill me. God, give me. There's a place to let your request be made on God. I'm not asking for that. I'm not taking away from it. There's a place for that. But more than anything, I want my life to bring God glory. And the Lord says, if you'll be thankful and just let me continue to work in your heart, you can't even begin to fathom how I'm going to be glorified through your life. Stand with me this morning. Morning.